Psalm 23, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Looking at the various ways in which the Lord leads His people, we've seen the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who never leads contrary to the paths of righteousness. We see the Word of God, which is what the Spirit of God uses, is His Word. We saw last week the presence of the Lord, the obvious manifestations of the presence of God. He also, we'll just mention and read a couple of verses, And again, this isn't apart from the other three that we've mentioned. He leads by means of human instrumentality. Again, that's human instrumentality is not contrary to the Word, not contrary to the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 77 and verse 20, Psalm 77, verse 20, Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So He led the Israelites, and He used Moses and Aaron to do so. Again, not contrary to His Word. Isaiah chapter 63, we have reference to this. Isaiah 63, verse 11, Then He remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, Where is He that brought them up out of the sea? Okay, that's God. Where is God? How He brought them through the sea with the shepherd of His flock, Moses, whereas He put His Holy Spirit within him, Moses, that led them by the right hand of Moses. Verse 13, we see again, He led them. Verse 14, lead thy people. But again, the leadership was through human instrumentality. And though that is so, that God does lead through human instrumentality, the thing to always keep in mind, of course, is the Holy Spirit, His Word. God does not use man contrary to His Word, contrary to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Then He also leads by His decree or providence. And this is where people are more likely to fall into error, God's people. So we want to look at an example of this, but God does lead His people by decree or providence. Now we know that God, you have to have this foundation, God sovereignly decrees, designs circumstances. God does that. And He does that so that we end up where He wants us to end up. Even when we have no conscious part in getting there. God does that. By His providence, He can lead His people to places in which they had no part in getting to that place. That's, again, God leading through His providence. In other words, God can and does put His people in places and positions in which they did not decide upon. He takes that completely out of their hands, in which they did not plan upon. We can make all kinds of plans, and there's nothing wrong with making a plan. You just better beware that your plan doesn't get in the way of seeing God's will. And that happens all the time. I've had people tell me many times, well, this is what I've had planned for 10 years. Well, guess what? Your plans don't always work. And you need to follow God. But one such example, there's several in the Bible, many in the Old Testament, and we could spend months upon this, but one such example would be Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, God would eventually bring, without them having any conscious part in it, would eventually bring them to a jail. And he did so for a particular jailer and his family that Paul and Silas did not know. In fact, Paul and Silas did not know each other when this all began. So God very rarely brings his people from point A to point B in a straight line. That's what most people want to happen. God, just bring me from here to here. Straight line. And he does that at times, but not usually. Not usually. In fact, it's pretty rare for God to bring us from point A to point B in a straight line. That road from point A to point B, again, that way, takes many roads. And it can take years. And this is certainly seen in Paul and Silas. First of all, well, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 13. We see God's providence at work in many different ways here in this example. First of all, we see God's providence in bringing Paul and Silas together. Most people that read Acts chapter 16, which is where Paul and Silas end up in Philippian jail, they just read it and think Paul and Silas have always been together. But of course, that's not the case. So we see God's providence in bringing Paul and Silas together. This is God leading his people. Back in Acts chapter 13, the Antioch church sent forth Paul and Barnabas, not Paul and Silas. They sent forth Paul and Barnabas as missionaries. And their missionary endeavors are recorded in Acts chapter 13, verse 5. All the way through Acts 14, verse 25, we read of the missionary endeavors of Paul and Barnabas. Following their missionary endeavors that we read through verse 25 of chapter 14, they return, Paul and Barnabas, to the church at Antioch, or to their sending church. Notice in Acts 14, verses 26 through verse 28. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. So it's the church that sent them out, gave them authority for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So they've returned. They have given a report And now they're staying there. They're living there for a while. God had led them to return. God has led them to stay. Now, during their stay, there arose a dispute in the Antioch church. I know it's hard to believe that a dispute would ever arise in a church, but it happened. Acts 15, verse 1, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after this manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Now, all of this was according to God's timing. Why didn't these men come before Paul and Barnabas arrived? Because that wasn't God's timing. Everything is according to God's timing. He's working things together. Well, this dispute arises, and Paul and Barnabas and some others were sent by the Antioch church, again, church authority. Paul, Barnabas, and some others were sent to the church of Jerusalem. And they were to go there and get some advice. And they go there to discuss this matter with the apostles. Notice Acts 15, verse 2. "Wherefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." Now, there's a lot of things going on here. First of all, the Jerusalem church did not interfere. The Antioch church said, "You know what? We need some advice. And we're going to go back to our mother church, the Jerusalem church, and we send these certain men, Paul and Barnabas and others, to go and discuss this matter that had arisen in the church." And then we see that these men discuss this matter, and the Jerusalem church decides to send men with a letter stating their stand, stating their disapproval of what is being taught in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And we read this in Acts 15, 22 through 29. So you have Paul and Barnabas and some others returning back to the Antioch church with these letters, or with this letter. Now, two of these, whom the Jerusalem church sends back to the Antioch church, were Judas and Silas. Judas and Silas. God's leading His people without them even knowing it. In Acts chapter 15, verse 31, or verse 30, "Paul and Barnabas and these others from the Jerusalem church arrive in Antioch. They gather the church together to read the letter from the Jerusalem church." Notice verse 30 through verse 32. "So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. When they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle," or the letter, "which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation." So the letter helped them. "And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them." So after a while, have the letters been read, the Antioch church has been greatly encouraged in this matter. They now know how to handle this matter. And after a while, these brethren from the Jerusalem church would return to their church. Notice verse 33. "And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren, that is in Antioch, unto the apostles in Jerusalem. But then notice, notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still, that is, in Antioch. So God has moved the Jerusalem church to send Silas along with others to Antioch, and then God put it in the heart of Silas, you stay here. The others went back home to Jerusalem, and God said to Silas, you stay here. It's God's leading. God leads his people. And then in verse 35, Paul and Barnabas are still teaching, still preaching in Antioch. And after a few days, Paul proposed to Barnabas that, you know what, Barnabas, we need to make another missionary journey to see how the churches are doing. Notice verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Well, Barnabas didn't think it was time, or didn't want to, whatever, to do this. So a contention arose between Paul and Barnabas that would cause them to go their separate ways. In verse 36, we see Paul's suggestion. Then in verse 37, and Barnabas, so they've decided we're just going to go separate ways. Paul, you want to do this? I want to do this. Paul says, I feel this is the will of the Lord. Barnabas says, I feel this is the will of the Lord. And I believe they're both right. And there was a contention. And in verse 37, and Paul and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. So they, okay, we'll go. Barnabas wants to take Mark. Paul says, no, I don't want to take him. But Paul thought it good to take, Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul is saying, this man has a history. He's left us once before, and I don't think he should go. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas. Now the two weren't even together up until the Jerusalem church sent Silas with some others to the Antioch church. All the others went back except for Silas. And that's why, now we know why, Silas probably didn't know why God kept him in Antioch. But now we know why. Because God was going to use Paul and Silas on these missionary journeys. So we see God leading his people without them even knowing it. And commentaries spend pages, and preachers have argued for countless hours, who was right, Paul or Barnabas? And I think they missed the whole point. It's not a question of whether or not Paul was right or Barnabas was right. I believe they both were. It was God working his providence in turning one missionary journey into two. That's all it was. So God used this contention to turn one missionary journey into two. But what we want to see today is how God leading his people, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. They're not. They have really no part in it, but God's leading. Then we see God's providence would continue to bring his workers together. In Acts 16:1, Paul and Silas arrive in the city of Derbe. Now, it was there that Paul, during his first missionary journey, was stoned. They attempted to kill him. But they returned to this place. Most people, you wouldn't go back to that place. This is God leading. And in the minds of Paul and Silas, if you remember when Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go and see how they do." In the minds of Paul and Silas, they were simply there to see how the churches were doing. But that's not the only reason they were there. God had another reason. And we see that in verse 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which are in those quarters, for they knew all that the father was a Greek. He's talking about Timothy back in verse 1. So now we see God working, bringing Paul and Timothy together. And we all know Timothy would become a protege of Paul. But again, God leading his people without his people even knowing it. And then God's will, without directly revealing it at this time, was to get Paul, Silas, and now Timothy to Philippi. Now notice in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." So there you see God's leadership through the Holy Spirit, and he forbade them to preach in certain places. This is God leading. And they were come to Mysia. They essayed, that is, they labored to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. It was their desire, it was their determination to go into Bithynia. But the Lord said, "No, you're not going to Bithynia," and prevented them from doing so. And then we see in verses 9 and 10 that a vision appears to Paul in the light, in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over unto Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. So again, God is leading them to go to a particular place. So God closed one door, would not allow them to go preach in Asia, and he opens another. He opens another. Now there's a danger there. People get in their mind, God closes this door, and then they, most of the time, they begin to open their own doors. But let's say God closes this door, and you hear people all the time saying, "Well, God's not opening any other doors." Well, keep on knocking on the one he closed. He may open that one. Just because God closes a door once, now this has nothing to do with this, but doesn't mean he will keep it closed. Doesn't mean that. So we have to be careful with looking at circumstances in determining God's will. In verse 13, we see why God wanted them there. "And on the Sabbath, and went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened." That's a key phrase. That, in other words, the Lord opened her heart that she would do something, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. We see, as you read on there, she was saved. She was baptized. So Paul, looking back, the Lord, in his providence, prevented Paul from going to Asia, because that's where Paul would have gone. But God prevented that. God has many ways of doing that. And led him to Philippi. And he did so for this woman named Lydia. And then God would send an aggravation into their lives as part of his leadership, as part of bringing them to the place where he wants them. We see that following the conversion of Lydia and her household, a woman who was employed as a fortune teller meets Paul and his companions. We see there in Acts 16, verses 16 through 18. And this woman would follow them, mocking them in a very sarcastic way. And this went on for some time. And Paul would eventually turn and rebuke the demon. And the demon would leave this woman. This, in turn, infuriated the employers of this woman. We see in verses 19 through 22 of Acts 16. And so they arrest Paul and Silas. Some people say, well, where was Timothy? I don't know. Don't try to figure that out. The Bible doesn't say. You get in trouble when you start doing that. But Paul and Silas, they bring accusation against them, and they arrest them. And they cast them into a particular jail. And they were put in a particular cell where this particular jailer was. All of this is God's providence, bringing them to this point. But the whole point is God leads by his providence. And he does so many times without you and I. We know looking back, I mean, we can look back and say, wow. And I imagine Paul and Silas could too, looking back, say, wow, we see, look at the steps that God, how God brought us to this point. And that's a wonderful thing when you can do that. But many times while it's happening, you have no idea what's going on. But you have to have this confidence. God leads his people in paths of righteousness. And it's God who's working circumstances. It's God's people spend way too much time trying to figure out why things happen when they ought to just rejoice. God's working the happenings, and something wonderful is going to come of it. But we spend so much time trying to figure things out, and then people think they have it figured out, and they go all haywire because they don't have it figured out, because you can't figure God out. But God leads his people. And he does so through providence, even when we are unaware of his leading. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace to us. We thank you, Lord, that you do lead your people. We thank you for all the ways that you've led each one of us. And we thank you, Lord, that you always lead and paths of righteousness. You always lead in those ways that are good for us. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you are a wise shepherd. And we just pray that you'd be with us today, that you would help us, Lord, to worship you. Lord, help us to glorify your name. And we just pray that if there be anyone in our midst, we know there are, but Lord, if you would save their souls. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.